From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom. This is Locked On Chiefs and the aftermath from the regular season finale, if I could say that right. And there are some things that we have to go on just about what's going on with the Chiefs, as well as a couple of other topics. We will hear from Matt Derrick here in a little bit as well. He is Chris Clark. I am Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGRFootball.com.
How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm keeping it together. It is one of those things that I really, really, even on rewatch, I'm just really disappointed with the injury statuses that we saw happen against the Chargers. It's just got me a little bit down.
Yeah, no, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny when you talk about injuries, but that absolutely, I completely understand where you're coming from on that. DeAndre Baker's injury looked horrible. Luckily, today we found out it wasn't as bad as could have been happening, and you actually thought after the game.
Yeah, I was very, very concerned with, and it's funny because Andy Reid said exactly what he needed to say to put my fears at rest, that it was a clean break. Generally, that means it was down low. And it seems like he's avoided any kind of like extra injury to like soft tissue and nerves and those kind of things. They said it was very clean, that it's been repaired already. So that tells you the severity was there, that they needed to do it that night. But it also means that he's likely either got a pin or a plate and screws or something like that. And Andy said that he's very confident in his recovery. And it sounds like they're very optimistic for him coming back next season as well.
Yeah, and that's a very important piece to note. We don't know at this time exactly what the contract situation is with him. From my understanding and the way I was reading it before the game yesterday, he was not guaranteed to be back in Kansas City in 2021 because he hadn't been on the active roster. The thought was he would end up on the active roster for the playoffs. Well, at this point, he can't be on the active roster for the playoffs, so he's not going to be back necessarily in 2021. You would expect that they'll get a free agent deal with him done of some sort to bring him back, because I'm guessing he wants to be here considering this is where he chose to go. But the most important thing that you said is it's a clean break. I did watch a video of a doctor that was actually talking about his specific injury, and he said that it's expected to be a 5 to 6 month recovery period. So that would put it at about June. The other part of that is, not only will his recovery be probably about June, but the reason that the surgery was done so quickly is because when a femur breaks in the leg, it pools a lot of blood, and that can cause, you know, a couple liters of blood or a lot of blood to pile up in the leg. So they like to get that done quickly.
Yeah. And Matt will have more contract discussion coming up here later in the show. I will definitely get into that with him, but you're absolutely right. And the other thing is a lot of the long bones, especially the femur, the biggest long bone in your body, is one of the things that produces blood cells. So that marrow in particular, you want to get that encapsulated, let it do its thing. So that helps the healing process overall.
Yep. And you want to get that bone set as quickly as possible. It'll really help the healing process. So obviously good news in that front. Honestly, kind of good news on the Willie Gay front. We think he's probably going to be out. I mean, obviously he's not going to practice this week, but nobody's going to practice this week. It's possible he's available for the game. In 2 weeks, we don't know who they're going to be playing, but it's possible he's available.
Yeah, it's on the very fringe. We got late notice on Monday from Sam McDowell over at the Star that he's got a source that says it is a typical high ankle sprain, which is kind of a 2 to 4 week area.
He could be out for the first game.
He could be. It looked a little bit more on the severe side to me for a high ankle, but that's just my interpretation, especially after the swelling goes down here in a day or two. It might be way less than it looked to me. So cross your fingers. It's still a possibility, but definitely by the divisional game, I would think that you're back on track.
Yeah, and that's good news for the Chiefs, and hopefully Rashad Fenton is going to be available as well. We do not know right now the time frame on his injury, but everybody else got a lot of rest yesterday, and it was a good sign for that.
Yeah, I think that really helps. And there were some veteran offensive linemen that got some time, got some rust knocked off. Andy was pretty adamant about that as a positive, and without having to stress themselves too much. And you got to feel right now that for all the up and down on the offensive line, and we'll get into them here coming up in a couple of minutes, but I think overall, you got to feel pretty good about where they're at and being able to field a group of offensive linemen that can still absorb a little bit of injury or missed playing time or something, and have guys that have had some reps in recent weeks.
Yeah, that's absolutely a great sign for Kansas City, and that should be a good thing moving forward, although it is kind of interesting to see a complete wholesale change at the offensive line position and five new people play. That was rather interesting to watch on Sunday.
I thought overall the game was pretty good. On the backside of this, we're going to get into some more specifics. Who's ready for some football? It's almost here, and the college football season is starting to get to the bowl games. I'm pretty excited about that. And then, of course, we have all the playoff games for the NFL as we get into January. There's plenty to talk about. And a lot of it comes down to if you want to be part of the action or not. There's one place that you can be covered and one place that you can trust, and that's betonline.ag.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Go check out BetOnline.ag. So I want to get into something really quick. I know we didn't want to talk about the coaches and all the situations with that, but I have to get your opinion because this is something that really pissed me off last night. I have watched a lot of NFL games. I have never actively felt like a coach was doing what he could to tank a game. And last night, I watched it happen.
Yeah, I think we're going to call this the Sudfeld effect. Is that what we're going for?
Dude, the guy looks scared.
He did.
I'll be honest. His eyes just made him look like he was scared half the time he was out there.
And yes, I know it's Sudfeld, folks. I was trying to make a point. I don't want to cast aspersions because I don't know the situation, but it certainly looked like Doug was like, you know what? We're already hosed. We might as well hurt somebody else in the process, bump ourselves up a little bit in the draft order and try to get more weapons for Jalen, because that was suspect beyond all belief.
Well, yeah. And what kind of message does that send to Jalen overall? I mean, yeah, he missed a TD throw that he probably should have made. And he didn't get his feet set, and that's why he missed the throw. But at the same time, you're trying to figure out if he can be your quarterback of the future. You have to know that. You're going into this offseason, you absolutely have to know that. And you sit him in the fourth quarter, and then you try to make it sound like you thought Sudfeld was your best chance to win the game afterwards. That's a joke.
It is a joke, but I will say that from what I saw of Jalen's response, it didn't seem like it surprised him. So that tells me that there was an organizational movement towards, let's improve our draft stock. Jalen, don't take it as personal. We're going to throw up a smokescreen, say some stuff that doesn't make any sense. We're going to do some stuff that doesn't make any sense, and we're all going to be better off for it come this offseason. So,
and I hope the NFL really takes a look into that, because they had to be pissed off, too, putting that game in primetime.
Yeah, and I hate to see it be Doug Peterson that it did something very Belichickian, in my opinion.
Man, and honestly, I don't know how the players could really be very happy about it.
You saw Wentz, Ertz, and Kelsey were not. They lingered out till like 1 a.m. on the field talking to three of them. That means something.
Well, and Wentz is probably going to be back in Philly just because of his contract. Ertz probably isn't going to be back. I don't know if Jason Kelsey will be back or not. I think he played well enough to come back, but after being in that organization for as long as you have, and he, you know, everybody's talking about his speech about you do everything in the NFL to win. You don't tank. And then that's coming out. This is a speech from a long time ago. It wasn't, you know, this past game. But then this comes out. He can't be happy with the way this game played out. He can't be happy with any of it. So I don't know. And he's one of the leaders on that team. So I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I actually disagree about Wentz. I don't think he's there again. I don't think you come back from any of this. But they're not.
He doesn't want to be there, but $65 million is going to be very hard to take a cap hit in a year where you're already going to be way down.
True. We'll see what happens. I think there's some creative options there, but they certainly have a decision to make, and they're not the only team that has decisions to make. There is a lot going on, and Eric Bieniemy seems to be at the center of it.
Yeah, don't mind Ryan getting notifications about Bieniemy getting, you know, interviews and whatnot.
No, so I literally just got something on Eric Bieniemy. It's going to be an interesting ride, folks. Look for Eric Bieniemy to be at the top of multiple lists. And
sounds like he's interviewed three places, or is scheduled to interview for at least three places.
He's had two that I'm aware of. I just got confirmation on one. And yeah, I think it's going to keep coming. There are what now? Six head coaching spots available. There's also seven GM spots available, or eight now. So with the news in Denver of that changing over, there's going to be a new GM there. Evidently, a lot of folks that I trust, like Ben Albright and Cody Rourke, both feel that Vic isn't going anywhere as their head coach. But any GM that goes into a new organization has the option to then change the coach. So you never know. And I think that does come back to Eric Bieniemy. And like we talked about last week, and for those of you who saw the Fox Morning Show week before last, when I said, watch out for the Chargers, I thought it was 50-50. A lot of people thought Anthony would stay. He did not. And I just don't know if what usually happens is Andy's guys don't go within division. But that is a really attractive job, and Eric Bieniemy is a really attractive candidate. And I don't know if it's going to work or not.
Yeah. You know, I have to wonder whether or not he would really want to go there. I think that you look at that organization, and I think he's been close enough, or he's been in Kansas City long enough to know that organization has some severe problems at other areas that he isn't going to have control over. Health and conditioning is one of them. I mean, he has some control over it, but I don't think coaches have a say into who their health people are. I don't know. Maybe they do.
I think everything could be on the table. It just depends on your relationship with who's going to be. I mean, it's Telesco. He's not going anywhere. It is Spanos. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
So that's part of the negotiation. The
problem is that team can't stay healthy.
I agree.
And that's an organizational thing. You can't say that they draft the wrong players, but there's something they're doing in their organization that causes their team not to be able to stay healthy. And that is a severe issue for them. Every single year they lose a hundred games or more from starters. And you just can't have that and be successful.
You're absolutely right. And they have injuries to players who don't have injury history. That is something that's going on there. And I think, I don't know the ins and outs of that organization and how they structure not only their medical side, their athletic training side, or their strength and conditioning side. I know people who have worked for their strength and conditioning program in the past, and it's not something that I feel can be the culprit that's pointed at, but strength coaches are generally the first to fall in a situation like that, and any new coaching staff is going to have some input on it.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, the job I probably want is going to be in Houston. The one it has no draft capital at all, but you have probably the best QB that's out there that is going to need a new head coach.
See, that's a conundrum for me. I wouldn't want to go there if I'm Eric Bieniemy. You have Deshaun.
Because of no draft capital?
Yeah, you have no way to help Deshaun right now.
That's true.
You know, that's the problem.
I get it, but the issue is he's going to have at least 2 years or 3 years to be a head coach. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to be going in there saying, look, I have no draft capital to rebuild this. I'll rebuild it the best I can with what we have. But, you know, I'm going to be subject to what you've already done with all the draft picks and your cap situation right now. I mean, I'm going to be stuck the first year. There's not a lot I can do. I can change the culture that way. And I think that really could get them a long ways. But at the same time, I think Deshaun Watson's the best QB that has a job opening. And I still don't think that there's any way that Bieniemy ends up in Los Angeles. I think he respects Reed too much to do that.
Right. I would agree with you there. I would say the only way that could happen is with Reed's blessing, but that's.
Yeah. But does he really want to play against his mentor and Patrick Mahomes twice a year?
The only thing that I would say, if there's anybody right now outside of Josh Allen that looks like the next 5 years could compete with him, it's Justin Herbert.
I still think Deshaun Watson could, but I get it.
I don't know. I mean, hey, this is all from us outside looking in. I think they're going to have a determining factor. Let's take this second to thank some friends. We'll come back with Matt here in a minute, get his opinion. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it doesn't require membership or an account login.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know what we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
And it is time to welcome back Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, the guy who has the ins and the outs and the ears on what's going on. How are you, Matt?
I am doing pretty well, Ryan. How about yourself?
My ears are closed. All I hear now is chatter of head coaching jobs.
Right?
Yeah, right. We'll get to some of that here in a little bit. But we did get an update on Monday. I think that it's fairly significant in the fact that DeAndre Baker hurt, obviously, Sunday night or evening, whatever you want to call it, was already through surgery, has already had that repaired. Generally, that's going to be an implant of some kind. I mean, that's bolt it back together and get him healing kind of procedure. I took it as optimistic from what we heard from Andy Reid on Monday. How did you take it?
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs are incredibly optimistic for what happened. I mean, the injury was gruesome. I mean, just the way it happened and certainly the way that he was taken off the field, it made you very, very concerned. Andy Reid says that the fractured femur was a clean break. The surgery was successful. He said that, you know, Monday morning, just before noon, he was back in the team facility and was even bearing a little bit of weight on that leg. So, they're talking about best case scenario as far as is going for Baker. And I think more importantly is that they're talking about him being back. I mean, that they want him back. He's not under contract yet. This injury will complicate the contract matters a little bit, but I don't think at this point there's any doubt the Chiefs want Baker back. And even though we haven't been able to speak to him yet, I don't think there's a whole lot of doubt that DeAndre Baker likes Kansas City and likes what he could possibly do here. So I think we're definitely going to see him. And the expectation right now, I mean, everything we're hearing is that they fully believe that come training camp for sure, that he's going to be back 100%.
That's what my big takeaway was, too, is that Justin, the way it was delivered, as though we all knew this already, that they did have interest in him back next season, obviously without a contract. The weight bearing piece, that's a really positive sign. Again, that's usually an apparatus, some kind of bolting together. Sometimes they'll put a rod in there. There's a number of things that could have been done. I don't know that we'll even get those details eventually. We might. You never know. But for Andy Reid to say he's going to recover this, we have confidence in him and he'll be back. That next season, for me, they had the option to elevate him to the 53, which would have given them some tender options. That didn't happen. And so it is going to be a new contract. But when you look at what the injury does to complicate that contract, it seems like it's got to be pretty, I don't want to say low end, but it's got to be very economical given they don't know his future and availability, right?
Yeah, and NFL contracts, I mean, everything is, and the rules are very complex, and they get even more complicated when you're talking about guys that don't have free agent status yet and are not controlled. There's some maneuvering where the Chiefs, if they end up putting him on injured reserve, on the active injured reserve roster, essentially, and not the practice squad injured reserve, that they would have his contract rights for 2021. Which would make him essentially an exclusive rights free agent, which, you know, certainly that comes into the matter of cost, but it also turns into, you know, team control. So, yeah, I mean, even if for, you know, through the tangled process of NFL contracts and free agency that DeAndre Baker has a choice of destinations for 21, I don't think there's any doubt he wants to be in Kansas City. And with the injury, yeah, I mean, that would certainly probably keep the cost down too. I mean, it makes 21 for Baker a prove it year. I mean, it's an opportunity for him to go out there and try and get back on track and prove that he's healthy and that he can play.
And that's really what it comes down to. But I was taken aback. He looked better pre-injury than I expected him to, even within the system where you can kind of let guys just do what they do, play man, be out there on the island, see what comes of it. But that said, having that under control does go back to it. So we might still see a maneuver from him for him this year, given that they're still in the season, they can still activate that for a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, they can. You remind me of a couple of things in the sense that, you know, we've heard a little bit from Sam Madison and Steve Spagnuolo who've talked about Baker, but even behind the scenes, I mean, the message was generally, yeah, you know what? It took him maybe 2 or 3 weeks to knock off the rust, to get a little bit up to speed. But the last few weeks, you know, the Chiefs really liked what they saw. I mean, they saw that, you know, the potential of that first round guy was still there. And, you know, now that he's got all of this, you know, kind of tumultuous offseason behind him, you know, they were really optimistic to see what, you know, the offseason could bring for him. I think they'll still be a little bit problematic. But I don't think there's any doubt that he will be in Kansas City. They're going to have control of him in 21, and they're really excited to see what happens.
I am too. And from the injury standpoint, if they're actually saying that he might be available by training camp, that means that the clean breakness of this was very clean, and that they feel that he can get healed up. It also says that there wasn't any tertiary damage to tissue and nerve and that kind of thing that would slow you down in your recovery. So let's cross our fingers. That said, all the enthusiasm coming out about him, it leads me down the trail of what is the longer term plan at the position. And clearly with the emergence of L'Jarius Sneed is going to be on one side. This could be the other half of a duo to come in the future, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, the Chiefs were really intrigued, because with Baker, you know, because of his contract situation, I mean, he's a guy that essentially you could have 3 years of control over. And, you know, and you're talking about a position where, you know, Bashaud Breeland's going to be a free agent this offseason. You know, and this is the chance, his probably, you know, one big chance to get a big bag. And if he's going to, if money's going to be the determining factor, he's not going to be back in Kansas City. Traverse Ward's going into a contract season. You know, this is when you either pay Traverse Ward or you move forward. So it's a make or break season with Ward too. And you're right. I mean, after that, then yeah, you've got Sneed, you got Fenton, but you could be looking that, you know, the Chiefs, as far as their long-term planning, they could be looking at a situation where, hey, maybe Sneed, Fenton, and Baker are their top three corners in 22. I mean, that's the kind of roster building and construction thinking you have to think about. And that's why the Chiefs really want to see what they got in this guy.
Yeah, and that's exactly where that road leads for me as well. And I'm glad to see that it's probably the best scenario of that injury. That's a plus. On Breeland, I think we'll talk about this more as it comes up in free agency hits. It's not really the right time, but we are in the bye week, so we might as well take a little bit. The question comes to me is whether that market will be there for him or not, given he's still got a pending court case and all that kind of stuff. There is the up and down nature that is Bashaud Breeland that I enjoy and I'm comfortable with, but I'm not sure every team is. So gut feeling where we're at now, do you think there is that big bag out there waiting for him that he will have to go get?
Yeah, it's really interesting because you're right. I mean, the way things unfold, I mean, this could end up being another season where, you know, Bashaud Breeland's got to go out and get a one-year prove-it deal. And that's tough because, you know, he's going to be 29 next season. I mean, that's not an age where, you know, you're typically going out and get a one-year prove-it deal so then you can sign a long-term deal, because guys aren't typically signing. Teams aren't typically signing guys 30 and above at corner to long-term deals. So, I mean, it's going to me, I mean, a lot of it's going to just determine about, you know, what Breeland really thinks is in his best interest. I mean, he's found a spot where he fits, and, you know, and that could mean something. I mean, maybe the Chiefs, hey, maybe they're not willing to give him a long-term deal, but they might be willing to give him more on a one-year deal than maybe some other teams would, because they know what they've got. And you saw that, you know, hey, it doesn't always work. It didn't seem to work with Breeland in Green Bay. So sometimes what you know is better than the other alternative, especially if it's a one-year deal where you're hoping to try and prove something to other teams. So I think it's a complicated decision for Breeland. I think it's going to be a little complicated decision for the Chiefs too. I wouldn't be surprised also if it's a decision that lingers for a bit, because remember this last offseason, that was the case. I mean, Breeland was kind of out there for a couple of months before he decided to come back to Kansas City when he saw that the market didn't materialize. It could be the same kind of spring for Breeland again this year around.
That's what I'm expecting, because I think, like you said, it's a tough decision for both parties. I think the Chiefs can see value, especially if the duo were looking at it for 2022. You got to have a veteran in the room. And if you're going to not see Ward as your future, got to have somebody that you trust. And clearly for the player, being able to come back to what is going to remain a contender year after year, at least as long as 15's wearing a jersey here, that's got to be a little bit tempting, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, and Steve Spagnuolo, you know, really coaches kind of a team defense concept. I mean, it's not a star mentality, especially in the secondary group. Not that Steve Spagnuolo is going to turn down having a star or a guy on an island out there. But he likes being able to have guys that fit specific roles that he understands and knows what they can do. and that he can build around them. You know, the Chiefs absolutely know what they got in Breland, so they feel like they can build around that. Now, of course, the question, we talked about it, age becomes a factor. You know, at 29, 30, as a corner, you're not the same guy that you were, you know, even at 26 and 27. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I think it's going to be a difficult decision all around. Sometimes, you know, familiarity is the best for everybody, but we'll see. I mean, I Breland's at a point where I think it's going to have to be the best decision for his long-term future, and whether that's in Kansas City or not, I think we're still have to find out.
There are a lot of questions yet to answer, so I guess, you know what we'll do? We'll split this, and folks, we'll have Matt back tomorrow, and we'll finish our conversation then and get into more about this game and where it came down, what it means going forward. There's a lot of little details to get in, so we'll just put it on pause is what we'll do. Thanks for listening to us today. Make sure to spread the word. We're going to be here every day, all season, all off season, as we get ready, even on this bye week, for the Chiefs' upcoming game. So Matt and I will finish our conversation tomorrow. Thanks for listening to us today. We'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.